Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, gentlemen, let's start putting into practice what we said on the other day. The other day we said we're not going to give reasons for mitzvot. We're going to deal with one question. We branded a new term that the Jewish people have never heard before, and that is, and now what? Or, what now? I think your grammar is better than mine. Now, I am still a novice with names, so if you speak, and please speak freely, please say your name first, so I have some sort of a probability to actually learn your names by Rosh Hashanah. Thank you, Bruce. Gentlemen, I'm going to start, with your permission, with the mitzvot that we're about to get into during this period of time, namely the mitzvot that we're about to fulfill over Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, because they're germane to the discussion. And I'd like to start with the most fascinating mitzvah, the first mitzvah, the Oraisa, that we're going to fulfill in the new year, and that, of course, is what? And please do not say, dip the apple in honey.
Tikiat Shofar.
Tikiat Shofar is a mitzvah, the Oraisa. In other words, if you're a Baal Tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, you definitely have a very, very novel, paramount, I would say extremely lofty position to stand before God and represent the Jewish people on the Day of Judgment. However, with great respect to Baalei Tefillah, and I'm a Baal Tefillah, so I know what that means, Tefillah, according to many, and especially the Piyutim and other things we say, may be the Rabbanan. But Tkiat Shofar is the Oraisa. And indeed, the Rambam, following what I believe is the model that I said on Wednesday, says as follows in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tshuva. I want you to remember that. Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tshuva. I want to hear a question in 2 minutes. Afalpi, even though that Kiyat Shofar is a Gzerat HaKatuf, Remez Yeshbo, there's a hint that's imbued within Tikiyat Shofar. So the Rambam in the 7th chapter of Hilchos Tshuva says, even though Tikiyat Shofar, God told us to do it, He never gave us a reason, and therefore we do it. You remember the three knocks of Wednesday? I surrender to the divine will. First day Rosh Hashanah, I will blow shofar. Second day Midrabanan, I will blow shofar. The Rambam, at least in the Mishnah Torah, does not give a reason and doesn't even try to say, I know the reason. Rather, he uses a very cute term. Remez Yeshbo. Can anyone interpret those words into English?
There's a hint. A hint to what?
A hint to why we do it. And the Rambam starts by saying as follows. Again, I don't know the reason, but now I did the mitzvah. The Rambam's in shul. He heard shofar. Remez yeshbo. I think there's a hint. And what is the hint? Uru yeshenim mishenatchem. All those that are sleeping should wake up. And he goes on and on to use various terms to explain waking up from slumber. V'tachzeru b'tshuva, and v'chozer b'tshuva.
So the shofar is an alarm clock. Right.
Yes, and I'd like to explain what I believe the Rambam means, because you said it beautifully. Your name again?
Yitzchak.
Yitzchak said the shofar is an alarm clock. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to use exactly what you said to explain what I believe the Rambam is saying, and the experience that we may or should feel after we he shofar. But once again, Bruce, I just want to say, we are blowing shofar because God said so, and we are not saying the reason is. However, now that we did it, let's explain what we felt. Let's be psychologists and ask the Jewish people, what did you feel when you blew shofar? You're not a monkey, so what did you feel? And Yitzchak said, Yitzchak?
Yitzchak.
Alarm clock, we're going to explain that in a minute. Bruce?
Well, we've been hearing shofar being blown every morning for the whole of the village. So we're not using it.
Absolutely. Don't do it every morning.
Now, every morning in Elul, it's a minhag to blow shofar. Yeah. We've been fulfilling this minhag since Rosh Chodesh Elul. I believe that it basically is the same thing. Yeah. But I just want to be very clear. Rosh Hashanah is the tkiyat shofar de oraisa, right? And versus Elul, which is not even the Rabbanon, it's a minhag.
For the man in the audience.
The Sfaradim actually blow shofar during Slichos when they say Yud Gimel Midot.
Ah.
It's a very beautiful thing. As they're saying the Yud Gimel Midot, which is the climax of Slichot, they blow shofar.
I'm just pointing that out, that therefore, for hearing in Rosh Hashanah as mitzvah deraita or whatever, it's not a sudden alarm clock, because we've been used to doing it for quite a while before.
No, I didn't say sudden. I said it's an alarm clock. Now, an alarm clock doesn't have to necessarily mean that you are sleeping and you're waking up. It can also be an alarm to remind you to do something that you're not yet doing. For example, you're sitting at home, and you put into your phone an alarm clock that at 8:55 you have to come to Kollel to be there at 9. You're awake, but the alarm clock tells you, change the current situation. Instead of being at home, come to the Kollel. Alright? Or, halachically, very important, do you mind if I say a halachic statement, Bruce? Is that okay in those Musar Machshava?
Yeah.
Is that okay in the Kollel, talk a little halacha? I want
to
keep within the rules. All right. So can I mention a halacha that's sometimes forgotten? You're not allowed to eat before you daven mincha every day, because the chachamim were worried that you may forget to daven mincha. This is the same thing with regard to kriyat shema at night, which is a mitzvah dol raisa. It's the same thing with regard to many mitzvot. So how do you override this? I mean, if you daven mincha at 7 o'clock in the evening, you're not going to eat since till one fifteen in the afternoon. So not getting into the big debate, one of the ways to overcome this gezerah is to actually have a reminder of some sort. The halacha, Shulchan Aruch talks about having a kavua minyan, but take that a step further. You have a minyan, and you put a alarm into your phone that at 6:55 p.m. you have to go to shul, and that would allow you to eat dinner perhaps before mincha. So it's basically an alarm clock in the sense of changing what you're doing right now. I believe what the Rambam is saying is so beautiful. Every one of us, since we were in kindergarten, if you're from Canada, it's called primary, you ultimately were told, you have to repent and lachzor b'tshuva, an elul, right? Mm-hmm. You went to grade 1 through grade 12, your rebbes told you, lachzor b'tshuva, everybody is saying tshuva, change, revolutionize your life. How many of us have did that? How many? How many of us can say after Yom Kippur, I am a new man? I'm no longer what I was. How many? I don't believe many of us can say that. I believe that if you're in a job before Yom Kippur, you're going back to that job after Yom Kippur. And in general, you're the same person. So what were all our teachers and rebbes talking about? It is my view that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is not about a major revolutionizing change, but rather Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is about changing a bit. Actually doing something a bit different. That's it. How do I know this? Because in the same halacha that the Rambam says, again, we're in Perek Zayin, halacha Zayin of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam gives the following in the same halacha. He says that every single Jew should view himself as if he has exactly the same amount of mitzvos as
averos.
And all he has to do is to do one more mitzvah to balance it out. Majority is a majority. Even if you win by a small majority, you're still the prime minister. Correct? Says the Rambam. La'olam, always, a person should see himself equal mitzvahs averos, and therefore, one mitzvah, you balanced it out to good, you're going to have a good life. That's what the Rambam says. Now, not going into how that works exactly, because it is a strange concept that exactly we have enough mitzvahs and averos, I believe the Rambam is telling us practically what's happening over here. Practically, most of us won't change after Yom Kippur. We're basically going to be the same people. What will change? A small something. A small, what's called a tipping point. Namely, you're going to tip the balance a bit by doing one more thing a bit different, a bit better. Maybe it's going to be when you come home in the morning, after shul, you're going to say to your wife, good morning. You haven't done that in years? A new thing, good morning. Being nice to your wife. Very important. Maybe you're going to learn another 5 minutes a day. Every day, 5 minutes, one Mishnah. Small change. Maybe you're going to come to shul on time. Maybe you're going to have kavana in one of the 19 brachas you have in Shmoneh Esrei. Something will change. To put it to you very telegraphically, how many Al Chaitz do we say on Yom Kippur? I love your answer. A lot. That's the answer I was looking for. When a teacher's teaching, he always prays, may they say the answer I want. I was worried someone's actually going to tell the number. That's exactly the answer I was looking for. A lot. No, we have so many Al Chaitz about this and about that. People come to shul, as I do, with printouts of making the Al Chaitz longer. As if Yom Kippur davening is not long enough, we make it longer. And every Al Chaitz, throughout the generations, many Gedolei Yisrael from the Gron onwards, basically wrote a description of what the Al Chaitz is referring to. When it said, Al Chaitz shechatat lefanecha ba'azut metzach, what does that mean, azut metzach? I believe that if you are true to yourself, every year one of the Al Chaitz will become irrelevant. One of the many will become irrelevant. Not all. That's why they're in the machzor every year. But one of them will become irrelevant. That's what the Rambam says will happen on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It is not about a revolution. It is not about a major changeover. It is not about plastic surgery, turning a man into a woman or a woman into a man. It's about taking the man and saying, let's change something. A nose, an ear, a tooth. And that's what Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is about. Says the Rambam, Tekiyas Shofar Remes Yeshbo. It says, wake up. What does that mean? An alarm clock. Change the current situation a bit. Now, how come the shofar is the alarm clock? We can give two basic reasons. Reason number one is clear and simple. No? And simple reasons, by the way, are usually the right ones. Don't let anyone ever tell you that the simple reason is wrong. Simply, why would the Rambam sit in Shul and Rosh Hashanah and say, I don't know the reason, but what I felt after doing Tekiyas Shofar was alarm clock. Why?
Loud.
It's loud. Your name again?
Jeff.
Jeff says, it's loud. With all the it's loud. What is an alarm clock? It's loud because if you're sleeping, you need something loud to change your current situation, to get up. If you're in the middle of surfing the net or learning Torah or whatever it is, you have to have mincha, you need that alarm clock. Loud. To tell you, whoops, got to change. It has to even scare you a bit. So what the Rambam is saying is, it's loud, and therefore it must be an alarm clock. Allow me to illustrate it with a story. Now I know you think I'm about to make up a story. Because usually when a rabbi says he's going to give a story, it's one of these Hasidic stories that perhaps with a high probability never happened. Right? But this story happened. How do I know it happened? Where do I get off Yitzchak saying it happened? Because it happened to me. I was there, in the room. Gentlemen, I was sitting in my former shul in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And we brought up the following question. Many non-Jews wanted to come see what Jews do in shul. And there were many visitors, non-Jews, that wanted to come on Shabbos to see what do these Jews do. Okay? And there was a big debate. Is it right? Is it wrong? I'm not getting into the debate. But one of the questions I brought up is, perhaps we should make a list of days that we do not want them to come, because it would be a bit embarrassing for them to come in. They'd see something too embarrassing that without, let's say, 10 lectures as to what we were doing, they would look at it and say, these Jews are nuts. So we started making up a list of days that we don't want them to come. So the first thing I put on the list was Purim. I don't need them to come into shul and see all the noise and the laughter and the drunkenness and everyone's dressed like Halloween in the holy sanctuary. Purim, finished. Then we went on. Anyone can give another example? Tisha B'Av, sitting on the floor looks strange. The Jews are very sad or should be sad. It's not a day we wanted them to come. What else? Shana Rabbah. Yeah. I said, I don't want them to see us clap with Shanas on the floor. That's not... You need 25 lectures for that. Forget it. Simchas Torah. All right, also Simchas Torah we put in. So everyone's there. Huh? Then I said, so one of the board members said, yeah, we don't have any room in shul. All the seats are taken. So many Jews come to shul, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there won't be room. I said, that's not what I'm worried about. There are still seats. What are you worried about? I said, let me tell you what I'm worried about. The whole shul is silent. I mean silent. They're waiting in anticipation for something. Imagine the non-Jews saying, wow, something's about to happen. It's probably the cantor's going to let out a kedusha, something like I've never seen before. And everyone's quiet and silent. And at that moment, what do they hear? It's the most embarrassing thing in the world. Not enough? I don't want them to hear that. That's 50 lectures to explain how come Jews are excited about a ram's horn. So I said, take Rosh Hashanah off the list as well. No non-Jews in Rosh Hashanah. I believe the Rambam, the same thing was going through his mind. Why are we getting excited about a simple ram's horn? You know, you play a trumpet, you play a guitar, it's a pleasant sound. You play music, piano, whatnot. Any Tom, Dick, and Harry to learn how to blow shofar. I know many Jews don't know how to blow shofar. I can promise you, I also didn't know. When I was 21 and I was forced to be in the army for Rosh Hashanah, it took me 2 weeks. Every night, a little practice, finished. I know how to blow shofar like I know how to ride a bicycle to this day. It's not a big deal. Many kids know how to blow shofar. You cover your mouth, you leave a little petach, boom, the sound comes out. It's no big deal. It's very primitive, as a matter of fact, because all you do is blow 3 different notes. That's it. That's the whole gedil. So the Rambam is sitting in shul and saying, why is this the mitzvah d'oraisa? The piyutim are more sophisticated than this. The regular davening is more sophisticated than this. Well, why did God say this? So the answer the Rambam gave himself is, A, I don't know, but B, if I'm already here doing it, it must be an alarm clock. Because by definition, an alarm clock is something loud with no music. It's just an indicator to tell you, change a bit. Little twinge. Little tipping point. That's it. That's what the shofar is about in the eyes of the Rambam. I went to shul. I heard the shofar. It could be an Elul, as Bruce pointed out, or it can be on Rosh Hashanah. What was it? It was a wake-up call. Now let me illustrate this. When do we blow shofar? On Rosh Hashanah, when do we blow shofar in the service?
Before
Musaf. Also the Sfaradim, by the way.
No,
that's a different story. For they also blow Tekiyot Miyu Demiyushav. Everyone blows today Tekiyot Demiyushav. There is a Baal HaMa'or, Rav Zarchi Alevi, who says there's no Tekiyot Demiyushav. The first Tekiyot is in Musaf, and then you make it up after Musaf. But we don't follow that point of view. Sfaradim Ashkenazim, they make a Brocha, Shechiyonu, at least on the first day, everyone makes a Shechiyonu. The second day, Machlekes Sfaradim Ashkenazim, and Yekim actually. Then ultimately, they blow the shofar, and we do 30 kolos. Then, we daven Musaf. In the middle of Musaf, we do something strange. It could be the silent Shmoneh Esrei or the Chazaras Hashatz, depending on your minhag, or both. What do we do? Sfaradim Ashkenazim all blow shofar and Chazaras Hashatz. L'chuli Alma. Let me ask you a question. The Rambam's in shul. You're in shul. You just said, Melech al kol haaretz mikadesh Yisrael v'yom hazikaron, Melech al kol ha'olam kulo v'chvodecha, so many beautiful psukim to prove the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how do you end? But usually rabbis end their speech by saying, no, you were not awake for it. What do they say?
I don't understand.
And we should have Mashiach. And no, why do we end? You're going to remember the covenant with Abraham Avinu, even though we're sinners, we're terrible. Boo. Shomea kol tuat amo Yisrael berachamim. Boo. That's very strange. We don't do in the middle. We don't have hefsek in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz. Imagine on Pesach you're in shul, and night of Pesach. You're davening and you say Vatiten lano et yom chag matzot hazeh zman chayotei mikakod esach ha-mitzayim. Take a piece of matzah. Take a bite. Imagine you're sukkis, you're in shul, you say it's sukkis, in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei you say hold on, you go into the sukkah, you sit, you eat a cookie, you make a leishah of a sukkah, you come back. Where were we? Modim? Okay. Very strange. We do a hefsek. So without getting into great detail, there's many explanations. I believe it's beautiful. Rosh Hashanah is there to wake us up. Wake us up. Change your current situation a bit. So you can't just say, oh, God should be a king over the whole world, and yes, and we agree, and like Shibana Beis HaMikdash, and like Mashiach, we all believe in it, but we don't really care. Blah, blah. No. It's an alarm clock. Wake you up to do something about it.
Shouldn't it be before the davening?
And it is. It's before the davening. So your davening can be meaningful, but it's during the davening. Because before the davening, you could say, okay, it woke me up, so you know what, I'm going to go home today, I'm going to say good morning, good Roshana Tovah to my wife, and thank you for the delicious meal, and I'm going to invite more guests this year. Very nice, on a personal level. But what, you live in the world alone? There's a big world out there. Malchiel, Tzichronot, Shofarot talks about the big world. Wake us up to do something not just about me, but rather about us. It's a wake-up call to change the current situation. To put it very bluntly, if you want to basically sum up this year, Shkia Shofar, according to the Rambam, the experience of now what is that you should go from sitting to standing. You should go from standing to sitting. Changing the current situation but a bit. That is the experience of the Rosh Hashanah Shofar. That's what the Rambam says is the experience. It is a wake-up call to change your situation but a bit. So what's beautiful to me when I learned this Rambam is that, A, the Rambam is not naive to believe that all the Jews are going to have a major transformation on Rosh Hashanah. He's very practical and says, no, that won't happen. But a little change? One little mitzvah? Viewing yourself as if equal mitzvahs averos, one little mitzvah is going to balance it out? That much I can ask of the Jewish people. How do we ask it? Tkiyas Shofar. Tkiyas Shofar comes and says, wake up but a bit in order to change but a bit. And I just wanted to end with the following thought. You know, many a Jews have davened Rosh Hashanah for many years. Many a Jews have went through Tkiyas Shofar for many years. You cannot be a steadfast Jew, in my opinion, without having aspirations. What does the word aspiration mean?
Aspirate
is to breathe. What do aspirations mean? I aspire for something. What I want to do. You can't just sit at home and say, listen, I got a salary. It's coming in. It's taking care of my money issues. I got kids. They're in school. Got a wife. Good. Everything's good where it's supposed to be. Beautiful, like Lego, all fits. A Jew, by definition, aspires for more. We go through a Shabbos. We start out by saying, Yismach Moshe b'matnat chevko. We're so happy with what we have. But then comes Musaf where we say, but we want more. What do we want?
Kiddush.
True. Aspire. What are we aspiring for at Musaf? We have a Shabbos. Yismach Moshe b'matnat chilko, mekadesh haShabbat, kachenu. What do? We say, we want a Beis HaMikdash. In Shachris Kufa, Yismach Moshe b'matnat chilko, we're happy with what we have, and how do we end? With the petition. Kachenu b'mitzvotecha, v'ten chilkenu b'toratecha. We're not happy with what we have, we're aspiring for more. A Jew, by definition, his whole experience is, I'm happy with what I have, but I want more. How do we end Shmoneh Esrei every day? It's the last paragraph you said this morning in davening. You know, give me a little, how can I say this nicely? Give me a little menuchas anesh. I asked for so much. Sim shalom. Give me a break. No. Right here, when you come out of davening, you have to leave with, I'm aspiring for more. I'm aspiring for a Beis HaMikdash. I need more than what I have. Rosh Hashanah, the shofar, tells you, you're fine, you're a good Jew. You're a good Jew. You're in shul every day, including Rosh Hashanah, you're not three times a day, three times a year Jew. You're a wonderful person. You're in shul, you're doing what you have to do, you're ultimately nice to your kids, to your wife, all those stories in the papers about this one killing his wife, this one beating his wife. Not me. I'm far from it. This one disowned his kids. Not me. By definition, the menuchas ha-nefesh doesn't exist by a Jew until the time of Mashiach, when indeed, hopefully, all our problems will be taken care of, and even then we'll have work to do. We have to aspire for more. The shofar says, wake up call. Go from sitting to standing. Change a little bit. Because a Jew, by definition, aspires for more.
That's what I would say, from strength to strength.
I lost you there, I'm sorry. What is a strain to strength?
To get on stronger, to keep going up.
Get stronger as time goes on. Absolutely. Yeah, the chazak benit chazak, I got. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, this is the way we always are. In other words, we don't just say mazel tov. We usually say shetisku for this, that, or the other thing. A baby's born, you don't say mazel tov. great goodbye, you say Mazel Tov, and now you got work to cut out for you. Torah Chuppah Meisim Tovin. You know, a couple gets married, Mazel Tov, you made it. And what do we say? Shetisku Akim Beit Ne'eman B'Yisrael. We never are happy with what we have in the realm of spirituality. Not in the realm of the physical world, sort of house or whatnot. Pirkei Avot warns us to be happy with Ezehu Ashir HaSameach B'Chelko. But with regard to spirituality, we're always asking for more. And Rosh Hashanah, the shofar says, wake up. You need to aspire for more. One little twinge, one little change, it's up to you this year. Atkan, Rabotai. Have a good week.